One thing, and I'm curious if this is how it is by you, but one thing that oftentimes has gotten wrong about tinnitus by us is people will say, can't do anything for it. And really what I think is meant by that is there's no medicine or surgery that's going to fix it, but there are options. There are a lot of things you can do. And one of the questions I have for you is, when you got hearing aids, was that at all positioned as a potential benefit or treatment for your tinnitus?
Yeah, I mean, it was positioned very transparently that it's not going to cure my tinnitus in any way, but it might reduce the perception. And because I have hearing loss, it's a no-brainer to, you know, try them out and see if it's something that works for me. But I mean, I've heard recently that over here in the UK, you can go through all of this training to be an audiologist, but only 2 weeks of that training is actually for tinnitus. So like, you know, I think it was 2 days of that training is actually for tinnitus. So in reality, like, I was one of the lucky ones. And when people go to their GPs, ENTs, audiologists, some of them might just say, look, this is going to cure you, because they haven't had the correct training and it's not their fault. There should be more in that situation that's done about it to stop it in the first place.
It sounds like the way it was presented to you was very realistic, that it's not going to cure it, but it can manage it.
One of the ways that we'll describe it for our patients is that you hear about negative side effects with medications. One of the positive potential side effects of hearing aids is that it can help alleviate the tinnitus, that it doesn't get rid of it. It doesn't make it go away, but while you wear the hearing aids, you can get relief from the tinnitus. And because you're getting relief for many hours during the day, you may find that when you hear it, let's say at night, that it's not quite as bad, because you know it can go away when you're wearing your hearing aids, or it can be lessened in severity when you're wearing your hearing aids. So it doesn't occur for everybody, but we do know that a significant number of people who wear hearing aids and have tinnitus experience relief from that tinnitus while they're wearing their hearing aids.
Yeah, I think transparency is definitely key. I mean, today we fit someone up with the new Phonak spheres, and they put them on, and the first thing they said was, my tinnitus is gone. And the audiologist was very transparent and said, your tinnitus hasn't gone. It's still going to be there if you tune in for it. It's just because your perception right now is increased and your brain is all over the place, kind of thing. But that was quite an interesting experience. Because
I love that phrasing. The tinnitus isn't gone. It's just the perception. I really like that.
Yeah, no, it was really nice to see that someone like instantly found that relief, because it's not like that for everyone. And it wasn't like that for myself. But yeah, I mean, it can happen, and it can help some people more than others.
I really hope that you put you're on the road to having a tinnitus, either retraining therapy, or that you're somebody who can get that rolling. We like to say that we have, when patients come in, they're either patients that have tinnitus or tinnitus patients, depending on how much it affects their daily life. I had a patient this morning who's a repeat patient, but the very first time she came in, she said she was ready to jump off a bridge because of how much this tinnitus was killing her inside. And she actually has normal hearing, but over time, as she was able to cope with it, it's still bothersome here and there, but she's no longer in that category of extreme where we really have to be very, very wary about it for her mental sanity.
Yeah, no, I think that's really, really nice how you said that as well. Some people suffer with tinnitus and some people have tinnitus. And I mean, with Stephen Hale, the audiologist that I work with, he basically says to people, if you have tinnitus, don't even think about it. Don't worry about it. You know, if you suffer with tinnitus, let's talk next steps, kind of thing. Because the one thing you don't want to do is put attention on tinnitus. And when you've already got that attention on tinnitus, I think the next step is acceptance and learning how to live with it, rather than, you know, trying to find that cure, because that's only going to delay you on the route to habituation.
That sounds like one of the things we talk about with our patients when they're talking about their tinnitus and the problems it causes for them. When we recommend CBT, we discuss it from the perspective of, we want to break that cycle, that you hear your tinnitus, you focus on it, the focusing on it makes it seem louder or more frequent and it's worse. So now you're focusing on it even more because it just got worse. And then that makes it worse. It's this ball rolling downhill, picking up steam. So we talk to our patients and we want to break that cycle. And for some people, it's using hearing aids and getting some relief from it during the day. For some patients, it's formal CBT training. There's different ways of intervening based on the individual's needs, but we certainly don't want to close the door to any of those options that may be beneficial for somebody. And what we also want to do is, as you were saying before, not draw attention to it. So if we fit hearing aids to somebody, and I know that one of my goals is, hey, maybe these hearing aids are going to help alleviate their tinnitus, I'm not going to ask them that when I first turn the hearing aids on. We're going to talk for a few minutes with the amplification in place and then say, hey, by the way, do you notice any change in your tinnitus now compared to before these were put on? And that's a way for the patient to potentially say, huh, I wasn't focusing on it. Now I'm hearing more and the tinnitus isn't what it was. So that's one of the, whether you want to call it a tactic that we'll use within the appointment to really try and gauge, are hearing aids assisting on the tinnitus front?
Yeah, no, I love how you said all of that. And I love that that's your route to go around things when it comes to people with tinnitus, because I think that is 100% the right route to go down. You don't want to bring up tinnitus if it's not an issue and cause people to start thinking about it more. So no, I completely align with that.
Now, we were talking about this a little bit earlier. You have quite a following on Instagram and a YouTube channel, and you have a podcast as well. What has the response been from people who have been watching your channel, listening to your podcast? What are you looking to share with them? And what has their response been to you?
I mean, it's been amazing since the get-go. And I started the whole social media venture when I was suffering of tinnitus. And I've been sharing my whole journey until the point of habituation and, you know, where I am now. I mean, I say I'm habituated, but it's constantly evolving. I'm constantly finding out new things about tinnitus, constantly finding new strategies to help myself and, you know, level up that habituation game that I've got, you know. I started posting on, well, the first thing I ever posted on TikTok was a video of me reacting to finding out that tinnitus wasn't normal, like just reenacting it out. And it was only like, what, 20 seconds long. And it got 14 million views and then over like 100,000 comments of people saying, oh my God, me too. And, you know, I thought, oh my God, that's a one-off. That's crazy. But I looked in the comments and all of these people were relating to me. I was like, oh, bloody hell, that's crazy. I posted another video of me saying kind of like a similar thing about like suffering with like hearing a ringing and things like that. And again, like 14 million views straight off the bat within 2 days. And I was like, okay, I need to post more about this. And I need to be constructive and I need to share my experience to help these people that are dealing with it. Because I mean, at that point, I was somewhat habituated from it, but I hadn't fully accepted it. But the more I posted, the more I realized I'm not the only person and I accepted it completely. But I mean, the first time I posted was two, three years ago now. And since then, I've become a habituation coach with the app Otto, which, you know, it's that's one of the things that actually helped me before I even started working with them. Not sponsored or anything, like brilliant, brilliant. I mean, you can learn CBT anywhere. If you want to download an app, that's an app. You know, some people are techie, some people are not. There's so many different apps out there, like Calm, you know, all these meditation apps. All these things helped me reach to where I am now. And I started sharing my experience of all these different things on my Instagram, on my TikTok. Only recently did I start sharing on YouTube, but I found that YouTube has been just great because it's more of an intimate experience where I'll talk for like 40 minutes, 20 minutes at a time, and people will start to really understand me and realize that I am a normal person dealing with tinnitus and that, you know, I'm not a superhuman that's managed to deal with tinnitus. Look, like we've all got our bad days. I still have my bad days. And I'll never like not be transparent about that because it's only human. Like you can't expect to learn to live with tinnitus, get to the point of, yeah, I'm feeling great with it, and without having these step backs. I think step backs are the process of actually learning to live with tinnitus. And you'll never get to the point where you're like, oh, yes, this is it. Tinnitus never bothers me ever because I still have my bad days. I still have them, especially if I forget my hearing protection kind of thing. But it's just been the most rewarding experience. I published a book. This was all in my third year of university. So my third year of university, I basically was said, do what you want. just try and do something that's like beneficial for people and let's see what you do at the end. And that was the start of the Tinnitus Cookbook social media. So yeah.
Tell us about the book. I'm curious about that.
Yeah. The book's called The Tinnitus Cookbook. And I kind of wish I didn't name it The Tinnitus Cookbook because it is not just a cookbook. It's like a whole handbook on tinnitus. The reason why I called it a cookbook is because there are recipes in there that I find beneficial and fun to do for myself, but not in a way where food directly alleviates tinnitus. It's not like that at all. It's more the hobby and the act of cooking that distracted my mind from tinnitus. So, you know, I put some healthy food meals in there because if you nourish your body, you're going to feel mentally better, physically better, and you're just going to thrive just all round. And then at the start of my book, I talk about my experience. I've got some testimonials from other people who have tinnitus as well, how they've dealt with it, and, you know, like a little journal at the back of the book as well. So yeah, I really enjoyed doing it. And because I did graphic communication at university, I did all the illustrations and all that stuff inside. Yeah.
If you've done just this much in only a couple of years, no. I can't even begin to imagine where you'll take this and the number of people you'll have an impact on in years to come. It sounds like this is just the beginning of your road ahead.
It means a lot. It really does. And the most surreal thing that happened recently is you're probably not heard of it, but it's called Good Morning Britain. And it's one of like the biggest like channels in the morning in the UK that people switch onto on ITV. And I was on there last month. I just got back off holiday. And then I had a call from RNID saying, oh, there's an opportunity that you can go on TV. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, and it was live as well. But just getting that awareness out there has just been amazing because I've never once seen anything on TV about tinnitus. And now I've been on it like three times to do with tinnitus. And that's all stemmed from social media in the past 2 years. And I just feel immensely grateful and, you know, lucky that I hit the algorithm.
Is there anything going forward that you would specifically point to as a goal around what you're doing with tinnitus awareness and starting and perpetuating a conversation for people around tinnitus?
There's so much I could do. And the one thing I haven't been doing much of is, you know, talking to other people like yourself. I mean, I talk to other people like in the hearing care industry, but I don't record it necessarily. But I should do definitely more of that because just learning from like professionals is the biggest thing. But there's so much that needs to be done. There just needs to be a strategy to spread that awareness that, look, you don't have to like wallow in sadness or tinnitus. There are things you can do. And to be honest, it's all within yourself. You've just got to unlock those capabilities to get to that point of living happily.
We asked our listeners and our Instagram followers of what is a topic that they would like for us to cover on the podcast. And tinnitus was by far the most common response. So it's a big topic of interest. What is something or some sort of advice that you would give to somebody who is struggling with tinnitus, experiencing tinnitus? What's something that you would want them to know?
Understand that you're not alone. And I know so many people have probably said that to you before and you're like, yes, but mine's the worst. It's not the worst in the world. It's natural to think that you're that 0.1% of people that has a life-threatening condition causing your tinnitus. Go to the audiologist that's nearby you. Go to the best one. Do your research before you go to them. Check they've got 5-star reviews. Establish that you've got good hearing and there's no problems there. Join positive support groups. There's a lot of negativity on tinnitus support groups, but these negative people are the people that aren't going to put in the effort to reach habituation. You know, they're going to say to you, oh, you'll never not have a negative response to it. But that's because they've not even tried. Like if you're here and you're listening to this podcast right now, you are on the right path to reaching the point of no longer caring about your tinnitus. So, you know, just keep watching this podcast and just keep being engaged with these positive professionals because they're going to help you in the long run.
So that leads to a question that I've enjoyed asking guests that we've had. What would you want audiologists to do differently for patients in situation like yours, where however it is that they engage with you, however the healthcare medical professionals you've spoken with over the time that you've tried to figure this out, how would you wish now looking back that they had dealt differently with you?
Don't be shy to use big words. I know probably when you've been taught in like audiology school kind of thing, you've probably been taught, oh yeah, just talk to people like a baby. Yes, do that, because it's clear and transparent and you understand what they're talking about. But use these big words, because like tympanogram, for example, I had no idea what that was until a few weeks ago, but like, or just different things like within the ear, because the more you talk to someone and the more you reassure them that you are a professional, the more people are going to listen. Like, for example, when I first went to get my ears checked, it seemed like they had no bloody clue what they were talking about. And they probably didn't, you know, that kind of established the fact it was a waste of my time. But if you just reassure and listen, just listen to the patients, that is the biggest thing, because I think reassurance is the, you know, just being heard about what you're going through, because everyone is obviously different, but I'm sure you guys are doing that. So this is for all audiologists out there.
It's interesting that you say that, because when it comes to tinnitus, there's similar to people who have issues with dizziness. There's a bunch of different professionals you could see, whether it's the ENT, primary care, neurologist. We're oftentimes the professional that has the most time to spend with the patient on their history. We get to ask the most questions and dive into what is actually happening for the patient. So what you're describing in terms of the listening and allowing the patient to feel heard, and that once we can comfortably say it based on establishing different testing and whatnot, that, hey, this is not something that is a medical problem. This is something that over time you can potentially adapt to and habituate to. It can be a much more comfortable process for the patient. So I think it's important for clinicians to hear that from the patient's perspective. And I would also follow up on what you said of using the big words and making the information clear. One of the things we tell our students that we educate is you need to make this complicated information accessible for your patients. So however it is that you're going to present the information, it is your responsibility as the clinician to present it in a way that the patient can understand it. Not necessarily the way that you'd prefer to say it, but the way that your patient can internalize it. That's how the clinician needs to present it. So I would say somebody who is doing that work effectively is taking those really complicated big ideas and big terms and presenting it in a way that you can walk away from that appointment feeling like, aha, now I understand.
Yeah, taking things away from the appointment is something I wish I had in like my first appointment, because it just felt like I'd been punched in the face completely. Like I go there with my tinnitus thinking I'm going to get handed some prescription pills. Yeah, here you go, on your way, it's going to be cured. When in reality, they're like, there is no cure. There's nothing I can really give you, but I can refer you to an ENT.
Definitely. That's a bomb drop right there.
Exactly. Like I walked out and I was just heartbroken. But one thing I would say to your viewers is that if you're going to an audiologist, or you've been to an audiologist, or, you know, GP, whoever, about your tinnitus, and they've said to you there's no cure, I can almost guarantee you kind of switched off from there. Because once you establish there's no cure, what's the point in listening anymore, right? Like that's exactly how I felt. And I think the biggest thing with like audiologists, like you said, is just to be clear. And not only that, just keep it engaging. Keep it engaging, and like maybe don't say there's a cure straight off the bat. I don't know. I mean, it's good to be transparent, but I think it's good to, the biggest thing is to be engaged and like keep the client engaged, because I just switched off when they said there was no cure. And I was like, yeah, okay, that's the end of that then. I'll just be depressed. But no, that's not it. You can have takeaways, you can go away, you can practice CBT and, you know, live happily.
You know, I think you get on another really interesting point, that a lot of times when we tell our patients this information, it's matter of fact for us. We know it as we're doing the testing. We see what the test results are, and we already start formulating what we're going to say to our patients. But when you deliver this information, you are complicating your patient's life. You're dropping a bomb on your patient's life. You're giving them information they were not expecting. We had this exact same conversation with a mom whose child we identified their hearing loss. And there's this feeling of being overwhelmed in that appointment where you're getting the information that the hearing loss is present, or describing what tinnitus is, or a patient who has a balance disorder, or somebody who needs a cochlear implant, that those appointments can be very overwhelming for the patients. And it's kind of a theme we're developing here, that for the clinicians listening, you have to recognize that your patient is not necessarily going to take in all of the information you give them on that appointment where you're identifying what the problem is. So be mindful of that, because it might be another appointment a week later after they've had some time to digest the information where you dive in a little more thoroughly. So it's important to recognize that you're dealing with people, you're dealing with their emotions, you're dealing with their healthcare. And it's not easy. It's not easy information for the patient to take in, especially when you're telling them there's something that, hey, this is a problem that's going to follow you for your entire life. Or, hey, this is a problem that there's not a specific cure for, but we have things we can do for it. Your language is very important. The way you present this information is very, very important to how your patient hears it.
And sometimes we actually can be on autopilot because we do the same job day in and day out of we're almost reading from a script on certain parts of how we're counseling. But it's important for clinicians, us included, to take a step back to recognize the person that's in front of us and that we know two patients are the same. So it's not about reading it like a script. It's about treating the person right in front of you.
100%. No, I love that so much. And I think even just getting like a, you know, like a model of the year out and just describing what's going on, I think understanding is absolutely key, and just getting that message across, or even just some simple printout to be able to take away and look at. Because sometimes in the moment, like you said, like a lot of information can be overwhelming and it can be completely life-changing. But maybe just some printouts that people can go home and think, okay, this is what they said. I'll think on it. I'll see if that's something I'm interested in doing. Like, for example, hearing aids, it's a big investment, and it's something that some people obviously don't save up for this shiny pair of hearing aids, do they? It's not something you really want to spend money on, but it's going to completely change your life. It's an investment in your life, your quality of life. You're going to get out more. You're going to socialize. Like, it's something that needs to be done if it is a necessity. But you know, you've got to think about, like, is it like a £5,000, like $5,000 problem? I mean, just thinking about things and just, you know, offering those follow-up appointments are definitely something that I would have benefited from.
Yeah, I think you're bringing a lot of awareness to tinnitus, to what it's like to live the experience of it. And I think also one of the things that you're doing that's very valuable is you're shining a light on what the experience is for the patient, for clinicians to understand that. And we need to understand what our role is with our patients and how we're providing care and how they're receiving that care and feeling and being heard and getting the information that they need to move forward with whatever the diagnosis is, to ultimately seek the outcome that they need. So what we're doing with our patients and how we do it is incredibly important, and the patients need to be heard and they need to be understood. And we need to present all of the available options that could benefit them.
What I absolutely love about your podcast is that your audience is two different people from two opposite ends of the spectrum of hearing care. You've got the patient and you've got the audiologist, the practitioners. And I just love how you're speaking to each individual audience of your podcast, because it's good for the patients to know what you guys want audiologists to do. And it's good to hear the inside of the audiologist's minds when they're actually doing these things. So yeah, I mean, just talking to you guys today is just, it's refreshing, like extremely refreshing, because I've never ever sat down and spoke to audiologists that actually, like, you know, I have, like, the most recent one I'm working with, but I've never really sat down on a podcast and actually fully aligned with what you're saying. And I fully agree. There's obviously some things where I'm like, yeah, but you shouldn't say that to a tinnitus patient, or you shouldn't do that, really. I mean, who am I to judge? I'm not a professional, but like from a patient point of view, but whoever's visiting you guys, like, I'm happy for them, and I'm glad that they found you.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Thank you so much. You had so many insightful things to say, both for the clinicians, for people who are experiencing suffering through tinnitus. I think this will give a lot of patients who have tinnitus hope that there are ways to cope with it. There are strategies, mechanisms, individual ways to help them day to day to manage this, and that life could be happy even in the midst of something chronic like tinnitus.
Absolutely. No, thank you so much, guys. Honestly, like, it's been the most refreshing and engaging thing
ever. Be sure to check out the Tinnitus Cookbook. And is that the name of your podcast also?
So just type in Caris Lount and you'll find me. But if you type in the Tinnitus Cookbook, you'll find my Instagram. On YouTube, just type in my name and, you know, I've got links on there. So, yeah, if you want to
all those out,
give me a message.
I think also what we're seeing here is that there's so much value in these conversations and that we like to take the stories and see how audiology intersects with the story. That whether it's somebody who's dealing with tinnitus, whether it's somebody who's dealing with a balance disorder, hearing loss, cochlear implants, a newly identified hearing loss, musicians on stage, people who need their hearing for their professional work, that audiology interweaves with all of this and the stories are really compelling. And I think yours is one of those stories and I appreciate you taking the time to share it with us.
Absolute pleasure. Like I love talking about it because, you know, it's something I know a lot of people can relate to. And the more people talk about it, the better. And the more people you reach, the better. So, you know, it's just an absolute privilege to be here.
Awesome. And as you keep going with the work that you're doing, if you put out any new books, reach out to us. We would love to share it.
Oh, I certainly will when I have the time. No, thank you.
Yeah, it sounds like you got a lot on your plate, but all good things.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot going on, but no, I'm just so happy of where the journey's going at the moment. Like becoming a hearing care assistant is just, yeah, I'm so happy of that. Like I never thought I'd be doing that, but my God, I'm enjoying this a lot more than anything I could imagine. So
awesome. Well, we wish you the best of luck and success with that. And I'm sure that you will have a unique way to connect with your patients and provide them with excellent care.
Oh, thank you ever so much, guys.
And we'll be wanting to hear from you again soon.
Absolutely.
You have a lot of insight to give.
Oh, absolutely. No, absolute pleasure.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.